it was such an issue that a number of folks got together to try to see what we could do. And one of the things that we did was there was some political action, because we got a family who had been displaced, and they actually put up a teepee in Churchill Square to sort of say, this is an issue. And it wasn't just an issue of lack of housing, but what was happening at that point in time was that there was an issue of discrimination, because the family was Indigenous. So it was not just lack of housing, but, you know, the sort of issues around discrimination. So a number of people got together, and what sort of came out of that was the Edmonton Citizens for Better Housing. And they said, you know, they've been doing all kinds of briefs and presentations, and one of the things, thank you, Dave, you can do it that, okay? One of the things they said, you know, we're submitting all these briefs and presentations. Why don't we try to figure out what we can do for ourselves? Why don't we try to solve our own problems? So then they began to look at different kinds of solutions for housing. And the idea of the cooperative came up. Now, some of us had been living in student co-ops. So mm-hmm. That was a little bit different than, you know, your family housing co-op. So the idea was to try to see what we could do collectively in terms of a co-op. A great opportunity came up. We got some land identified in St. Albert that would accommodate 350 units. Oh, wow. And we got money from the federal government, the Social Planning Council was involved, other folks were involved, and we had a 10-day planning charrette to try to figure out what we could do on that particular site. And from that, we developed a concept, and we, unfortunately, the land was going to come from the Oblates, and they did what they often do, is they reneged on the land offer. So we had to try to find some other land opportunities, and the group found some land in Millwoods, and that was the Sturgeon Valley Housing Co-op, which we now know as Kigano. So that's how the initial sort of movement grew. There were a lot of people. I mean, we were looking at 350 units, and there were a lot of people who were interested in it, and everybody couldn't be accommodated in those 50 units. And you could go on a waiting list, and you could wait for a long time. So there are a number of people who decided, you know, we want to form our own co-op. And that's where the sort of impetus for Sundance came. Now, at the sort of simultaneously or in parallel or in advance of that, a number of people who actually were involved with Sundance were involved in trying to save Riverdale, because the city was really wanted to turn this into parkland. And there was a lot of effort that went into saving this community. And as part of it, people looked at putting Sundance in this community. So it happened. It was developed. It was a very interesting process in terms of development, because the people who were going to move in, the members at that point in time, were really engaged in terms of the design and the development. It wasn't a 10-day condensed charrette. It was multi workshops in the old community hall with the architect and people who were working together to create the design of the project. And in terms of there were key elements, and you can see it around here, that came out. One was interaction. So porches, you know, and narrow walkways so people could interact with each other. Energy efficiency was important. I mean, at the time Sundance was developed, people wanted to make their units as energy efficient as possible. So what did they do? They gave up their closet doors, and they took their member loans and put it into extra insulation, something you couldn't see, but something that made it, you know, work well. So, and you know, when the community people moved in, there was all kinds of interesting dynamics that we won't go into in terms of fences, no fences, you know, all that whole, you know, dogs, dynamic and people learning to work together. So this section was developed. And then one of the things that the co-op did was, it's a long story, but just quickly, they actually acquired 10 units in Riverdale, sort of duplexes and a fourplex, older units, but they acquired them as part of it. And it's an interesting dynamic because the question of integration, I think a lot of people felt resentment in terms of those folks out there with their particular units, but people, it worked. And then that time, the co-op acquired the land where the Sundance Seniors is, and the idea was to develop a community facility. Because you imagine, 59 units, no place to meet, no place to have offices, and the only reason that happened is at that time, CMHC, who provided the funding, thought that was a luxury, you know, for people to have that kind of space. So the site was acquired. It sat idle for quite a few years. I mean, there were a number of attempts to develop a community building and lots of workshops and whatever, but it didn't happen. But eventually, the seniors project, you know, was developed. So the co-op started small and grew and grew and grew. It hasn't been easy. It's not easy. But I think it's been worthwhile. And I think the thing that Sundance is looking at now, in particular, as you see, in terms of these units, was sort of looking at sort of the future. How do we ensure that the co-op survives in the future? So the co-op went through, and they're in the process of doing the retrofit. So it's been an interesting process. And I think the thing about the co-op is it's based upon the members who are here and the interaction of people. And people come and people go, and there's positive and negative, but it when people work together, you have good things that happen. So that's it.
Yay. Thank you, Lynn Handley.